What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her. Bitch. Glass of red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch. Here I go. Oh.
We're back
in the trenches.
Looking at this job application I have printed out on your coffee table, and it just sent me into a death spiral.
Don't look at that. The
30-page paragraph I had to type about why I'm a good employee and a good worker. I was like, oh my God, kill me.
Oh, that lovely thing. We're like, name is like,
why would you be an excellent employee? I am passionate about customer service, and I am passionate about making sure I mute my microphone and my computer when we start recording this podcast.
You say you're passionate, and
I know. This is why I'm getting a bad performance score from you this quarter.
Never. I would never.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Leftovers, the trash bin of this podcast.
Garbage disposal.
Yeah. We have a couple quickies to get through that I think you guys will definitely agree we do not need to talk about. We will not be talking about Machine Gun Kelly showing off a bloody face after smashing wine glass into it on stage for the multiple time. We will not be talking about Flash Star Ezra Miller's apology. We will not be talking about Martha Stewart rediscovering her photoshopped nude magazine cover for Spy Magazine. And we will not be talking about Florence and Zach Braff breaking up earlier this year and her keeping that to herself while the rest of us choked on our own vomit in a spiral of death, waiting for her to destroy this man and leave him for good.
Yeah, I know, you're right. It really was one of those things that we were gnawing at the edge of our seat the whole year.
We also have some Addison Rae news. I know you guys came for the Guantanamo Bay Minions t-shirt merch exploration
journey. Extravaganza.
We're gonna make you wait. So Addison Rae's has officially, formally unfollowed her mom on Instagram.
No.
So
no.
Here's what's the story so
far. What does that really mean?
We kind of talked about Addison Rae unfollowing her dad as well.
We did?
Yes.
When was that?
A long time ago. We talked about Addison Rae's dad's cheating scandal.
Quickie.
So Addison Rae's dad, I'm getting the gist of this from paper, but I've also been getting some of this from TikTok as well. Addison Rae's dad, from what I've been able to put together, was caught having a 5-month affair with a woman who claims he misled her and neglected her feelings when the two had a pregnancy scare, despite telling her he wanted kids with her and like a family and was going to leave his wife, and that he was in the process of a divorce. He was not in the process of a divorce. Classic. Multiple 18 and 19 year olds then came forward to say her dad had hit on them, including a video posted of a 19 year old in the club saying Addison Rae's dad is trying to fuck me. And in the background of the video, you can see he's like trying to touch her in the club.
Oh my God.
Her mom then changed her Instagram bio to quote single mom in July.
Oh mama. Literally.
Then
oh, mama.
Earlier this month, Young Gravy, and let's look up Young Gravy.
Young Gravy? Can we ban the word like young from like these TikTokers?
Look at what Young Gravy looks like though. That's the important thing.
Wait. Copying, pasting. Hold on. Jump scare imminent. It's not what I expected at all, actually. I don't know what I expected. Okay, sorry. This is a straight man, right?
Yes.
Straight man with pearls needs to be banned. Like the son. Who is Young Gravy?
So Young Gravy admitted on social media that
he's 26 years old. Sorry.
Yes.
Also goes by Little Steamer. And Mr. Butter. It's a bad
taste. So then, okay.
Matthew Raymond.
So then a radio host asked Young Gravy if he was really going to take Addison Rae's mom out on a date. And he said, that's the plan. Then her father posted this.
Wait, hold up. What the fuck is this?
When this young is her dad. Gravy won't accept a boxing match, and it is her dad, like,
roided out,
flexing, screaming.
Literally looks like he's about to bite your head off. With the caption,
"Run, white boy, run." And then people on TikTok were retweeting it, or not retweeting it, stitching it, being like, this is really embarrassing. This is really weird. Why are you so aggressive? Why are you acting so, like, scary? Okay. So, Lopez, her dad, did not respond to the mom's comment on his video about how weird it was. He did respond to Tana Mojo's comment saying, quote, "I'm calling the police," in which he wrote back, quote, "Go take a bath," and then said, "About your body count." So, like, "I'm calling the police," and then he responded, "About your body count," to Tana Mojo, who's like a child compared to him. This is not to, like, defend Tana Mojo as a human being, but, like, yeah, let's be real.
Wait, this is the guy who dresses up in that frog costume and does, like, the radio show?
Yes.
I had no idea. What?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That explains everything.
Mojo then responded with a TikTok. Are you ready for this?
No, I'm actually not, but do it.
What you think is going to be said is worse. It's worse.
Yeah. I mean, anything that Tana Mojo does is scary to me.
See, I saw Monty Lopez's TikTok, and I commented, "I'm calling the police," and it was all fun and games. Actually, I wouldn't say fun and games. Like, it's definitely the most embarrassing TikTok I've seen of this year. I commented this, and then he said, "Go take a bath." I did bathe today, however, that's beside the point. And I've held back during this scandal, you know what I mean? I was already dragged into it. I said something back in the day. But clearly, he wants to beef. And I mean, first of all, why a grown man, a father, is even remotely discussing my body count is beyond me. But y'all have obviously seen the paparazzi videos of him stalking me down for a selfie. And I'm getting tired of the incessant FaceTimes and texts like these. And I think all of my young friends are very tired of him acting like this. So Monty, my dear, if you want war, so be it. I feel kind of strange beefing with this man at his prehistoric age, especially when I've seen him put so many things up his nose at several teenage events. Oh. And I actually remember having to back you off a couple of my friends inside of houses, in bedrooms, because they were scared. But this makes great podcast content for Jeff and I, so I would love to make fun of your ass. Looking like the thumb from Spy Kids. So Monty, I'll take a bath. Hopefully before you go to prison. But I just hope you can stop, man. Like, your daughter, your wife, it's really fucking embarrassing. And the fact that your narcissistic ass can't see it is crazy. So I'm gonna go bathe and worry about my body count. But see you in court or jail.
Wow. You know, she was real for that. Like,
and that's what I'm saying. I was like, this is a lot. This is not what I was expecting when I clicked Addison Rae has unfollowed her mom and dad on Instagram. But then
That really is quite a rabbit hole.
Can I read you this ending paragraph from Paper Magazine to really just put a pin in all this?
Why is paper covering this?
Yes.
Of course.
As her parents descend into public feeds on the internet, Rae is collecting her own controversies. She just shared what appears to be an Adidas ad that features her in a white bikini with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit written on it. However, she soon deleted it when she received an onslaught of backlash from Christians who saw it as disrespectful. Because she's going through a lot. Her dad is a fucking creep, and also she's being attacked by Christians for wearing a Holy Spirit bikini.
Wow. The layers.
We also have one more thing to talk about.
Young Gravy was hanging out with Martha Stewart. Sorry.
There's
I'm on there.
Zoe Kravitz regrets how she called out Will Smith's Oscar slap. It's for a scary reason? Time to have an opinion.
Sure is.
I'm torn about what to say right now. This is from Variety, because I'm supposed to just talk about it. I have very complicated feelings around it. I wish I had handled that differently, and that's okay. Kravitz's post on the slap sparked backlash on social media, with many Will Smith supporters, quote, bashing her comments she made previously about Smith's son, Jaden Smith. The backlash has left Kravitz thinking differently about speaking out on social media. It's a scary time to have an opinion or to say the wrong thing or to make controversial art or statements or thoughts or anything. It's mostly scary because art is about conversation. That should, in my opinion, always be the point. The internet is the opposite of conversation. The internet is people putting things out and not taking anything in. I was reminded that I'm an artist.
Not true.
Being an artist is not about everybody loving you or everybody thinking you're hot. It's about expressing something that will hopefully spark a conversation or inspire people or make them feel seen. I think I'm in a place right now where I don't want to express myself through a caption or a tweet. I want to express myself through art. Okay, wait, though. I'm obsessed that she was like, posting is an art form because I am an artist and it is scary time to make art, aka tweets. And by being an artist, my goal is to inspire conversations and make change, which is why I posted a flippant comment on Instagram, like, because it's about art. It's about conversations. Like,
also the internet is about people putting things out and not taking anything in. Not true. That's called television. That's what television is in movies. I'm sorry. I have lovely conversations all day online through group chats, through Discord, through my Twitter DMs. Anyway.
Lisa Kudrow also has some opinions about friends and diversity.
Did someone ask?
Yes. Okay, so the Daily Beast.
Are we going to not like Lisa Kudrow after this? Please,
No. I think it's fine.
Thank God.
The Daily Beast asked Lisa Kudrow, quote, okay. I know Marta recently made the news for donating $4 million to Marta Kaufman is one of the creators of Friends.
Yeah.
To make up for the lack of diversity on the show. But how do you feel about the diversity on Friends? And Lisa responds, quote, well, I feel like the show was created by two people who went to Brandeis, T, and wrote about their lives after college, T. And for shows, especially when it's going to be a comedy that's character-driven, you write what you know, T. They have no business writing stories about the experiences of being a person of color. I think at the time, the big problem that I was seeing was, where's the apprenticeship? T. Okay, listen to me.
That is like
a, I do a feel critical point. Like yeah. This is like girls... HBO Discourse 2.0, and I am not devaluing the very rightful criticisms that Lena Dunham endured.
Oh, this is like girls. A Lena Dunham first enemy podcast a lot of the time. But like, I know you have said girls are still like...
But girls was representing something, and it represented it well, whether or not what it was representing was good or... justified in existing at all. But Lena Dunham made a show about being a spoiled, rich,
it's not really the whole point
trust
the
fund
too.
Quote unquote artist in New York City. And right, while you know. Lena Dunham's character on Girls was not exactly that, the show accurately represented what that life was like for rich, white, delusional trust fund babies whose parents are famous artists. Like, no shade, everybody, but like, we do not have to pretend that people like those depicted in Girls do not exist and do not congregate together, right? So, like,
that's true.
I think Lisa is right that these are two people who went to Brandeis and had a very specific experience of New York.
They literally should not
write
about other
people. White experience of New York. And I think it is completely in art criticism and in criticism of culture justified to point out that the way Hollywood represents things has an impact on the world and how people also then represent those things in their own lives and internalize those things.
And that's why
there's
such a big push
lives.
To get writers of different experiences that are not trust fund, nepotism,
but
white
like,
people.
The real issue was beyond the fact that no black people were able to appear on the white sitcom, right?
Yep.
The fact is that there was no black people even making TV of that level. And I'm not discounting Girlfriends, but like they were not the same culturally, visibility wise, like money wise, the amount of attention that Friends has received over Girlfriends, like it's not the same. And so I think that it is a fair point to say the apprenticeship was also lacking, that like these people were not accurately representing New York, but their writers' rooms, their film crews did not accurately represent the industry or New York either, yeah, right?
And exactly.
Those are the careers that you have to get in on first to actually have any sort of like meaningful change, whatever change might be. And change is not always like a moral thing, right? It's not a moral act to have change. But like, you know, if you are representing more black people on screen, as an example, but you're not hiring black writers or directors or showrunners or producers or camera crews or grips or lighting departments or set or wardrobe, then what has really materially changed?
Mm-hmm.
Except the people who get paid the most on set are slightly more diverse than when you started, right? But like everyone behind it is the same. There are a bunch of Brandeis graduates with no actual bearing on like the real, with no actual like reflection of what the real world is like for most of us.
I guess my question is like, where did that $4 million donation go that they're talking about?
Oh, okay. So
do you know? I don't know.
So I did look this up, and Kaufman, who had expressed regrets at a 2020 ATX TV festival, said, quote, "She would have made very different casting decisions if she made the show today. Last year, she said the all-white casting decision was, quote, certainly not conscious. However, she did pledge $4 million to the African and African-American Studies Department at Brandeis University to rectify the show's lack of inclusivity. Quote, I've learned a lot in the last 20 years, Kaufman told the Los Angeles Times at the time. Admitting and accepting guilt is not easy. It's painful to look at yourself in the mirror. I'm embarrassed that I didn't know better 25 years ago.
Hey, and also $4 million is a personal donation. That's a lot more substantial than what you will see people
doing. It's a lot more money than Lena Dunham is donating to pay for the psychic damage she inflicted on me as a girls viewer.
I mean, the money that the people and friends have made is staggering.
Staggering.
The royalties, mama, bajillions of fucking dollars. Now, I was promised Guantanamo Bay Minions merch content. Are we finally going to go into there, or do we have anything else?
Okay. Are you really prepared for this?
I mean, not really, because I have to remember that Guantanamo Bay is a absolutely horrible, horrible place that I still exist.
Yes. Now let's click into this insider thing. So the only reason we're talking about this is because I saw a picture on the internet today of a Minions t-shirt with the words Guantanamo Bay written on it.
And it's just like a regular Minion face. Like yes, nothing
no,
else.
No, nothing a, there, right? Yeah. And I was like, this is obviously fake.
I was like shitposting
and I shared it in the shitposting channel on our Discord, and I was like, this is a fake thing, right? Like, this is just like haha funny shit posting. And then I had the thought that like, oh
no, wait, really Google this. Like,
is this actually real?
Because so, Americans love one thing. It's a gift shop.
So I did find from a writer at Insider in 2019, quote, the U.S. Navy runs a gift store in Guantanamo Bay where you can buy straight out of Gitmo mugs, stuffed toys, and beer koozies. Here's what it's like inside. Okay, so
the font immediately being like what the worst people in America put on t-shirts. Yes. It's like that military.
So
it
does. The article rightfully points out that the gift shop is across the street from a McDonald's and next door to a Subway. So, you know, really, just to like,
are those there just for the people going into and out of Guantanamo Bay? I guess that's literally what,
well, because it's
be,
a
right?
naval base. So it's,
oh yeah, of stuff, course.
I mean, it's imperialism. It's like a center
exactly.
of imperialism.
Absolutely. Yeah. What else?
Guantanamo Bay. So like, it's the people coming and going. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
I work at the Guantanamo Bay McDonald's. Like, I just fucking no. The subway sandwich artist going to the. Sorry, I can't.
Okay.
What were you gonna say?
No.
I'm just like in shock.
According to the New York Times at the time, the base has outdoor movie nights, weekly flamenco lessons, a kickball league, and even a yearly marathon. So, you know.
Okay.
The library sometimes hosts an escape room.
It's not funny because it's so fucked up. But an escape room in a prison.
There is a, you know, standard set of mugs that shows off like the naval base and fireworks and the ships and whatnot. And then there are a bunch of mugs that have the flags of US, Cuba, and Jamaica on them, which it says, quote, okay, likely representing the countries whose citizens live on the base. And then you keep going down, and then there's the mugs that say straight out of Gitmo, which is the GTMO is the official U.S. military designation for Guantanamo Bay. And you can also find it on trucker hats as well. There are frisbees that say Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Pearl of the Antilles, and even beer cozies that say Guantanamo Bay, Cuba Naval Base since 1898. And it's like literally for your beer.
Why would you want a cozy or a mug with literally just a picture of a naval ship and a harbor that's for a prison? What did people get out of that?
Like, then there's also Joint Task Force Gitmo Detention Operations t-shirts emblazoned on a t-shirt with a barbed wire going around it.
No,
it gets better. It gets better. It gets better.
Oh my God.
There's also Minions t-shirts. Here we
go. Less serious t-shirt options are also.
And Mickey and Minnie, Mom and Dad, Guantanamo Bay t-shirts as well.
And what this means is, especially with the Disney, that is licensed content that they are fully working with. Well, we don't
really know that.
But it's an American store. Or is it like a gift shop that some rando made?
Yeah, it might just be like... But it does mean that the Venn diagram... It literally says
Dad and Mom, like the Mickey and Minnie Mouse, and then just Guantanamo Bay under the Disney font.
No, okay, listen. Listen, what it... Oh, and then it also has... ceramic salt and pepper shakers of Minnie and Mickey kissing that are decorative Guantanamo Bay salt and pepper shakers. No, but Matt. It's Minnie and Mickey, Mom and Dad t-shirts, but the Venn diagram then of Disney adults and people who vacation at Guantanamo Bay is a circle. Okay, but wait. There's also fishing jokes like dad fishing life t-shirts in the back. Also, kids can go home with a stuffed Guantanamo Bay branded stuffed vulture or an iguana that says Guantanamo Bay on the side.
You have to laugh.
American excess. American excess and our need for gift shops have bled into Guantanamo Bay. I have a question for you, and we'll end the podcast here.
I'm sorry. I have to read this real quick. The thing at the end. I don't know who they're quoting here. It's probably somebody who runs the shop. That's the image the United States government wants to maintain too. That the prison is safe, humane, and legal, and the prisoners aren't having such a bad time on this tropical island. Gut fucking punch after
literally guillotine. No, okay, question. Do you have any specific gift shop merchandise memories?
Well, I grew up in San Diego, so like literally
assigned gift shop at birth. Like assigned decorative dried starfish at birth.
Okay, now listen. Thankfully, my parents literally are not drinking the sauce or whatever the fuck's in the water in San Diego. But like when people joke about the like seashell bathroom, that's like literally all I knew growing up. But I thought that's just what everyone fucking did.
See, where I'm from, it was the safari themed bathroom.
Oh my God, no, you're so right. Because when I would go to some suburban homes like outside, like of like East California, I would see that. It was genuinely scary.
Like out zebra of the jungle, print, wallpaper, yeah, like leopard print. Jungle memorabilia.
And like what's that like type of like terracotta or like it's that weird like stone material, yeah. That's like pink and brown. It's so ugly. No, San Diego literally, so I grew up
red walls. Always a red wall.
Oh my God, right? Like the Tuscan revival. Anyway, so I grew up literally like a few blocks from the beach, and it was like where literally, this is why my parents moved eventually and why I was like, get me out of this fucking hellhole. It was literally the destination spot for drunk college students that wanted to like ruin their lives. Like it was every summer was just the worst people you've ever seen in your life getting blasted out of their fucking minds. And every fucking 5 feet is a like sunglass, like baseball cap, yeah. like muscle t-shirt, like hub, but just yeah. like the dumbest shit you've seen in your life. I remember distinctly too, it's actually the earliest memory of a gift shop are those towels they used to sell where it was just like fat ass women, like on like the front of it, you know, where it's just like the bikini from the back with like just huge asses, like photoshopped to the nines on them. You know what I'm talking about? Or is this like very exclusively like a unique experience? It's literally this kind of, it's literally, they also had like postcards, but it's literally those things where it's just like a bunch of women that are in thongs naked, like shot from the back, and it's like on a towel, but like their asses take up like 90% of the square footage of the towel. And it's just like fully hung up everywhere.
Like
to see.
Embroidered?
Well, or like I mean, a no, picture. Girl, this is printed in like the cheapest factory in the world. This is like the kind of towel
printed towels.
Yeah, printed towel. These are the kind of towels that like you literally are like that just fall into the corner of your room and like get trashed over time.
I also am from a place that has a lot of gift shops as well. Oh, Santa Cruz,
garlic, mama.
Well, that too, Gilroy Garlic. Too.
Oh, Santa but, Cruz was like Santa very Cruz, parallel to San Diego.
Santa yeah. Cruz is, you know, where I spent most of my young adult life and teenage life. Definitely has the iconic Santa Cruz sweatshirt, which yep. is the hoodie with the red dot, you know, the yeah. red dot sweatshirt.
That is really prolific. Like, you very, everyone their moms yes. has that fucking sweater.
No, but, you know, it was always very funny to me when I would get older, because, you know, everyone grew up wearing those, right? That and the screaming hand, which is a very oh, iconic yes, image of absolutely. A blue severed hand with, like, a mouth in the middle screaming. We all wore it in high school, and, like, I think I still have a bunch of sweatshirts like that. I'm sure. Anyways. And... you know, we all grew up wearing it, right? And like, I didn't really travel much, so I didn't really think other people wore the Santa Cruz stuff. I obviously knew it was a tourist
it's like their
town,
biggest export,
and like
I think,
half
is that
of
sweater.
Santa Cruz is homes that people live in like 1 month out of the year, you know?
Yep, yep.
But anyways, I remember when I grew up and I moved to San Francisco, I would see people in Santa Cruz sweatshirts. And I always say, oh, are you from Santa Cruz too? And they'd be like oh, no, I was just like there with my family one time and I got this sweatshirt. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't know people actually like seriously were like out here like
no,
that.
It's like full
but
California.
Panel. There was like a lot. Most of the Santa Cruz themed gift stores are either like glass dolphins or Santa Cruz sweaters.
The triggering that brought, the dolphin art.
I was watching this.
Oh my God, the airbrush dolphin art. Mama.
Okay, this is going to
so be so much blue.
This is going to sound so judgmental, but I was watching this one glass blowing competition on Netflix one
time. Oh, those
time,
are cool though.
And this person was like, I make like gift shop glass. And she, like, was like,
show
people, she was like, people like has like this idea that like gift shop glass is like useless. Like it doesn't matter. And I kind of was watching Whoa. It and I was like, I mean, do we really need glass dolphins?
Like, it's like the first sign that you have the bad taste is when you have that gift shop level crap.
But I think my only memory of like being in a gift shop and thinking like, I need this or I'm literally going to die. I was as a child very convinced of like me waking up one day and like I was going to have magical powers or like,
oh my God, of course.
Like I,
you're like one day I'll metal
role
bend.
Play
one day
elaborate can... fantasies where you would open your desk just a little and the pencil would roll down and you'd move it with your hand.
Stop.
And you'd be like, I'm fully having
Stop.
Psychic powers. Right
no,
now.
Me in the pool, like rushing my yeah. head to the water. Like I'm controlling
I'm
it.
I'm airbending. Like, yeah. No.
Well, waterbender.
Fully me, like, I'm going to wake up and they're going to take me to Hogwarts. Like, and I grew up, I had a Harry Potter really quickly. And then it was, I could actually do ninjutsus. I was convinced from Naruto, I could do ninjutsu. I was like doing the hand signs to do like fireballs and whatnot.
Oh my God, real cringe hours.
Yeah, real
here.
Cringe hours. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Where I'm from, there was these caverns like an hour or two north that mm-hmm. were like mineral caverns, you know, where it's like mm-hmm. crystal cave, whatever bullshit. And we should actually go to them. They're pretty close by.
I love that shit. I think
where you go
super
in,
cool.
and it's just like crystals on
yeah,
the walls.
Yeah, no, I love that shit. And the stalactites.
Yeah,
and
stalagmites, all that. So, anyways, in the gift shop, it's all the like crystals and like polished
okay,
crystal
absolutely
and whatnot.
Absolutely,
no,
go
listen.
Off. I know you're talking
listen,
about.
Listen. Okay, so
and they had those pebble baskets.
So
where you
the
can
pebble
put your
baskets.
Hand in there.
So they had little animal figurines.
Uh huh.
And there was this purple crystalline dog, like quartz, yeah. like it was like a carved dog. Like, but like a wolf, kind of like a wolf, but it was like abstract where it was like mm-hmm. smooth on the sides and then like the shape of like a wolf sitting down with like a wolf's head. And it was like made out of crystal, kind of like a paperweight. Remember
yeah,
paperweights?
Yeah.
And
remember paper?
I was convinced that I was like spiritually, psychically connected.
I heard about
this crystal. No, I was like, I need this crystal. This is going to be my tether to magical powers. Like, stop. I can feel my spiritual connection to this. I was a very mentally unwell child, obviously. I was going through a lot. I was a lot of traumatic experiences convincing me that I could do ninjutsu just like Naruto and Sasuke.
I can imagine you doing Sonic, like the hand motions. Like
I was the girl
in front of the crystal.
Sonic running on the like ninja running That's around the playground. Okay.
We made fun of you. We made fun of people like that all the time.
I know. I know. And look at me now. Look at me now. You bow down to me. You bow down to me. You kiss my feet. You lick my toes. Okay.
I'm not doing that.
So I fully remember having like a meltdown over like I need
because that probably costed like $150.
No, it was $5.99.
Oh my god! Why didn't you buy it? Are you kidding?
I did.
Okay.
I still have it. It's on my bookshelf. But I was like, Mom and Dad, I need this. And they're like, why do you need this? I'm like, it's important.
You don't understand. There's literally things beyond your control.
I literally need this. I was in the cave, girl. I was like, I'm astral projecting in this cave. I must have been like 10 years old. Like,
it's just like the methane gas like, coming out of
I was like, no, listen, I'm like, I feel like my magical powers are going to awaken. And I needed that crystal dog.
Something tells me this hasn't changed very much, these latent powers.
You're right. You're so right. No, I would fully be like, this is gonna be the day that I wake up and I can like control lightning.
Okay, like, no, but you're so right about like the one item I remember it to now that you like had to have at a gift shop that I got. Oh my god, was those like Egyptology Wizardology books?
I did have an Egyptology book, but my dad got it for me at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Yes. Oh my god. No, I think I was at like a
I was into Dragonology. Oh, that was my book, Dragonology.
I remember now. No, Egyptology was mine, definitely.
And they had the little orb you can
yes,
rub.
Yes, that you can rub on the we'd be like rubbing it like it's gonna conjure something.
You better work. You better work.
They had like the Book of the Dead, which was like a 2-page PDF they put in it. You're like, oh my god, I'm gonna incant something here. No, I was at, and this is so California thing.
I
so
love roast it. I think now. I still have my Dragonology books.
Oh, you should bring that. No, this is so California, but we were on like we did one of those gold mine trips where you go to like a fucking mine that I remember was terrifying because you know mines are actually like dark and scary and terrifying, and they turn off the lights for a second to show you how it's like pitch black, and it was so scary. But anyway, of course the gift shop had like the Egyptology book and a bunch of random like fake archaeology crap, but obsessed. Same thing. I was like reading the like Egyptian, like, oh my god, what if it like actually conjured something? Like, what
oh my god, I, the and they had like the guide to how to read it.
And yeah, like, they did. And they had
the
like
most offensive shit you've ever seen.
Oh yeah, now. It's like literally full Victorian like revision history kind of crap. And they had like I remember they even had like the cloth of like a mummy in there or something stupid like rub the cloth.
No,
dude, whoever had that had a vice grip on the childhood, the children of that era. Like, they probably made so. Much money.
White suburban children all yeah. convinced that they were like mummy experts.
Then we all did that with Twilight later.
I also right? remember, like, I mean, not to like out myself as like having
you've been outing yourself
a person
the whole time,
of like
fine.
Having mentally unwell, like gay friends at 10 years old experience, but like, you know, all of us are trans now.
Did it? All of if us you listen to the show, you had a bunch
but,
of
like,
kids.
I had these friends where we would all be like, you know, because we were all very much into like. Digimon and yeah. Naruto.
Well,
and
you
like,
were in the anime club,
like
and all that stuff too,
Sailor so. Moon.
Yeah,
and you know everything back then was about like elemental affinities, right? And like, I remember getting into this knock down, drag out like brawl on the playground because my friend Justin said that his elemental affinity was light, and I was like, no girl,
it's me, bitch.
My elemental affinity is light, you're fire, it's not the same. And he's like, no, it's light. And I was like, you can be darkness but I'm light. And like we
because
had
somehow
a,
you can't
we
be
had
both
a
that.
Duel to the death about it, like
both of you not
literally
conjuring anything.
Casting each other's magical spells to like Stop. Fight to win and like succeed.
And I bet the kids around were gassing you both up.
Oh no, listen girl, we were fools, okay? I remember
oh yeah, I forgot people were making
I remember
fun of you,
thinking to myself I was convinced I was gonna write the next like fantasy book that was gonna make $1 million when I was like 12 years old. Oh, I was, because I would read a lot of books.
Well, you
right?
could do that, you should do that.
And I remember being at the spelling bee and getting like hysterical because I thought I lost my book at the spelling bee that I was writing. It was literally like a stack of pages.
Wait, you like wrote, you started writing the book?
Yes, but where it was like, it was just like college ruled paper, like, uh-huh. you know, like 10 inch, whatever, college ruled paper, yeah. whatever. And I was writing it with like this blue pen because I thought the blue pen was like make it cooler.
Stop.
And it was like a story about how there was like six children who like were all like from a different like a different world. Mm-hmm. And they all had magical stones that were like different elements.
Infinity stones.
And like they had to like save the world. And each of the stones transformed into like a weapon that they could use.
Jesus Christ.
And like the flames were like nunchuck swords. And then like the guy that was light had like a scepter, and the guy that was darkness had like daggers. And like, and
you,
I
were the,
had all,
you were the light one. I'm
and
assuming.
I was like writing it all out. I was like, oh, God. I was like, this shit bangs. All their names are like Celine and like Derek and like Zachary. Like,
yeah, very D&D.
Jessica, Phoebe, like. And it was like three boys, three girls, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But anyways, I was at the spelling. Young I was at the spelling bee, tees. And I was like, my spelling bee was up next.
Also, you just told me the other day that you were doing spelling bees, and that's still like I'm still
yeah
trying to
because
that information.
My parents are trying to get me his college scholarship.
They're like, you need to make work.
So I was
work,
in all
honey.
Those. I stopped doing them. I think when I was in fifth grade, after uh-huh. fifth grade, because I made it to like the top three or four
Jesus.
Of the county spelling bee, and then I got eliminated on. Okay, I don't remember what it was,
yeah,
but it
was
a
like,
dinosaur.
Oh God, that would
it was
be
like
easy.
It was like one of those like
Brachiosaurus
like,
or some shit like
Talapterodon, like
oh the
some,
ones
like,
there's like three silent P's,
Percularodon or something. Yeah, Pterodon, whatever.
Oh my
like
God,
that.
They were trying to fuck you up.
It was something like that, and I couldn't spell it because it was like wild. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
But wait, what happened? You lost the book? You said the spelling
no,
book?
I thought I lost it. But one of the teachers had found it and thought it was someone's homework, and so they had put it in their like little folder. Like,
oh,
binder.
I thought they were gonna like turn into the principal.
I was literally
demon
gonna
work.
Run into traffic that I had lost this book. So that's how we got from what again?
Guantanamo Bay.
This is what happens when I don't have ADD medication.
We talked about early gift shop memories.
This is what happens when I'm off the Adderall. Nurse, she's loose.
Oh,
do you have anything
God.
To add to that?
I really don't at this point. All I could say is, you know, keep believing, keep casting spells, keep casting incantations. The girls on TikTok are doing witchcraft at this point, so might as well.
The potions made out of your mom's
soap
shampoo.
Bottles. Yes. Oh my God. Mixing like $20 worth of product just to get yelled at later. Like, why are you making a mess? Why are you dispensing my
and
expensive
you, we
shampoo?
Always added the like really creamy white conditioner in at the mm-hmm, end because mm-hmm. apparently that was the one with the powers, yeah. you know, because it smelled good.
And then the mixing would do something.
I will also
but
add
it always
this.
Mixed into like an ugly brown color.
I'm in a really dark place in my life, and I've been watching a lot of Naruto Next Generations, which is like the Naruto sequel about
sadism.
About
that's sadism.
About Naruto's children.
It's not like the worst show ever.
And yeah, I do like that canonically they made Naruto and Sasuke deadbeat fathers. Like I think that's really funny. But there was just this plot line that was like a little too close to reality for me, where I was like, maybe this isn't so great. They let Boruto practice his new jutsu on like a prisoner in prison. They were like, this evil prisoner wants to fight you, so why don't you use him to practice your deadly new jutsu?
Oh,
and then
God.
After they're like, wow, he could have killed that prisoner. And I'm like, so this is a society where like the prisoners are just like human experiments, and then later they're like,
well, it's historically accurate.
They're like, they go underground to this like huge supercomputer in the village of Hidden in the Leaves, which is like where the story is set, and they're like, this is our chakra sensing machine that is a huge machine
what?
That like basically scans everyone's like biometric data and then can keep track of where every citizen is in the village at once.
Oh, so
and
like,
then know immediately where they are because their chakra when they do crimes.
That's giving.
And the story is like
state.
This is the most noble job in the village, to be like one of the like
technicians,
cybersecurity cop technicians.
No.
And I was like,
the Panopticon.
I was like, this is a lot for like a children's anime that's also a sequel to Naruto, which was like canonically about a boy that got like a magical wolf put in his body. Like,
is that really what it's about? I would
well,
not
well the
know.
Nine-Tails Fox demon girl.
I literally would I've never seen an episode in full.
Well, actually Naruto was really about aliens, but they don't get to that part till like very much later
after
on.
The 600 episodes of them running.
900 the Otsutsuki clan, who are space aliens that plant like parasitic fruit on different planets and then harvest everyone's life energy for eternal life.
Work mama.
Anyways, now I'm just rambling.
Yeah,
what I've been watching. You finished Westworld.
Somebody on our Patreon was like, finally someone's talking about For All Mankind, because I have some thoughts about it. And then we'll be on our Discord talking about that later.
Okay, so you can have thoughts about it somewhere that's not here.
That's exactly how
I it get to talk
be.
About Boruto. You do not get to talk about For All Mankind.
I don't. It's fine. I don't want to. It's absolutely accessible. What you need to do is catch up on the rehearsal.
Okay, I will.
That is the best television we've had in 10 years. It is beyond.
I will.
Absolutely beyond.
Do you want to get out of here now?
Let's get out of here.
Daddy, can I be free?
Sorry.
3, 2, 1. Hi, my name is Tana Boruto? Mojo, and why are you worrying about my body count, you old man? Goodbye.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Ooh.